Well, I appreciate all of you that it came out in this weather. I do think that is a strong stay of your faith. And I can tell you that my wife thanks you. I tell you that I thank you. I tell you the church thanks you. And most of all, God and Christ thank you. And to their name be glory forever and ever. Amen. All right, so Peter in the scriptures tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 3, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Though now, for a little while, if indeed it be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, glory, and the revelation at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Really, in the first five verses, it's a wonderful thing to realize that we have a living hope, a hope that cannot be taken away from us. We have salvation that is ready to be revealed. It's just an amazing thing that the church owns and possesses such great and precious promises. And when we think about mercy, we've discussed mercy before. Mercy literally is not getting what you deserve. And, you know, we read in the scriptures of how defiled we are, how sinful we are as man, and we are sometimes unaware that even the slightest sin is horrible to God. And yet God still gives us his mercy, and he gives what we're not getting, the punishment that we deserve. Mercy gives us time to see his truth as a people on the earth. And it gives us time to obey the saving gospel to the saving of our souls by Jesus Christ. Mercy, by the great love of God. The scripture tells us, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he loved us." Just amazing to think about. We talked about it this morning in the lesson, how great God is compared to how little we are. How honest and righteous and holy God is compared to man. And mercy, you know, by the Holy Spirit, not by the works of righteousness. It isn't something that we do to earn anything. His mercy saves us, and it does that through the washing and the regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit of God. And we are able to obtain mercy and find grace. As Paul wrote, "Therefore let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need." And we think about grace. It's such a wonderful word. We did a lesson on that. It's just, we've talked about grace many times. The bottom line is that grace is God giving us something that we don't deserve. Not withholding, but giving. He's giving us his Son, Jesus Christ. He's giving us the Word of God. He's giving us all those great and precious promises. He's giving us a foundation for our faith. And he's giving us a hope of eternal life in heaven one day, and we don't deserve that. But he gave it through his Son, Jesus Christ. So mercy and grace are different. One is God withholding the punishment. The other one is giving us that which we do not deserve. When we think about mercy with Christ, at his return. Realize that the judgment, he will bless all Christians with eternal life. All we have to do now is remain faithful. Jude says that we need to keep ourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. In other words, you know, since you think, you know, because of what that tells us, we need, or we must, continue to strive for the love of God. We need to look for the mercy of God, and that way we can live to eternal life. You know, in Genesis chapter 1 at verse 27, God made man from the dust of the earth. In Genesis chapter 3, we see that through Adam and Eve, sin entered into the world. And in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 24, we see that God drove man out of the garden. He drove man out of that paradise, out of that place where there was no death, there were no crying tears, nobody was in pain in any way, shape, or form. And they walked with God in the garden. But as a result of sin, God cast them out of the garden and closed it up and made sure that man cannot get there again. Man has not been able to be with God ever since that time. Even the priests, when you think about the priests in the Old Testament priesthood, the priests of the Lord, because they would glorify God, but they couldn't enter into the most holy of holies. And they're the one, you know, they filled the Lord's house, but they couldn't go in and they couldn't see the face of God. Yet through God's great mercy, he's established a way for every man and woman, everyone who can understand and believe. He's made it possible for a day to come when we will be able to see the face of God, the living God. And I hope for that daily, to be with him in that place called heaven, to see the glories of heaven, to see the streets that are described as streets of gold, to see the angels, the throne of God, to be able to partake of the tree of life. What a wonderful thing that is. And that's our hope. And it is a living hope. You know, and we think about this. Paul plainly tells us that Jesus is our hope. 1 Timothy 1 and 1. We just studied that a little bit. Man puts his hope in all kinds of things. All these temporal things and these temporary things, things that are worldly and not eternal, things that are non-spiritual. You know, in another way, man looks at things and relates happiness with those things. But the things of this life are temporary. Everything in this life is temporary. Whether it be a thing like a bank account, whether it's a building you've built, a home you've built, an exercise plan that you have to live longer lives, a great job with a promise of a great retirement. All these things are temporary. They're worldly. And there is no guarantee, even though you possess them at the moment, that you'll possess them at a moment later. So when we consider this, we need to be looking for that blessed hope. Titus chapter 2, and we look at verse 11 through 14. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. And look at what it says, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. You see what happens. Man puts himself in a position where he's dealing with physical, tangible things. And he takes his eyes off of God, off of the living hope, which is in Jesus Christ. The psalmist said, Lord, the psalmist said, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, and or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting till everlasting, you are God. And so that's where our hope resides, in the everlasting and everlasting God. Things that can't be taken away. You know, Peter quoted the psalmist when he said, all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower fades, falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Our living hope. Something that will never be taken away. You know, and we think of this because our hope is in a risen Savior. Right? Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me, though he dies, he shall live. Remember in Luke chapter 24 at verse 6, they looked into that tomb and he was risen. He wasn't there. And in John 2 and 22, it tells us that Jesus revealed, after having seen Jesus after the resurrection, the disciples saw and believed. They were holding on to something now that was from everlasting to everlasting. Also, because the Lord who gives us victory, we have victory in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Not only victory over death, but victory over sin. Victory to overcome and to live righteous and holy lives in this world, preparing ourselves for the world to come. Because our hope is in His promise to take us home. We're all familiar with John 14 in verse 2 and 3. Jesus says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there you will be also. Just an amazing promise. But that promise is eternal. And those of us who are of the faith rest our hope upon that promise. And also because our hope is in our great Creator's promise of eternal life. You know, Jesus in John 17, he literally spoke the words. He lifted his eyes to heaven. He's praying to the Father in heaven. And he says, Father, glorify your Son. And that you may also may glorify you. And as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. What an amazing picture of hope. He describes the eternal life as knowing God. Our hope is in the everlasting, eternal God. That's who we know. That's who we strive for. Lord, you have been our dwelling place, the psalmist says, in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting. That is who our hope and our trust is in. And that means that our hope is eternal. Not in the temporal things, not the things of this world, not in any relationship that we may have, because all those temporary things can be taken away. And when you think about it, as we look at this, therefore, it's called a living hope. And it is because of what Peter said, that we're kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We have such a great hope that God, He's not twiddling thumbs as some people might imagine. He's in heaven just waiting and waiting. He's actually working in our lives. Through the faith that we have in the Word of God and through our obedience to that faith, we are kept by that power of God through that faith, so that when that last day comes, no matter where we are at the time, in a twinkling of an eye, all things will be made new. All things will change, and that is because of our God. So unlike money, unlike relationships, unlike even our loved ones, even, you know, this is unlike even every earthly thing that we have or own, even as we look at ourselves in the mirror and maybe glorify ourselves, it's greater than all that. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. That's where it rests. And brothers and sisters, understand, every faithful child of God is an heir to God. We know that. We've been promised eternal life by our Father, who is the everlasting to everlasting God. In Revelation chapter 4, He tells us that He is the one who was, who is, and who shall come and be again. That's our God. There's nothing that will ever change that. The promise of inheritance is in heaven, to be in the presence of the Father, to be in the presence of the Son, to be in the presence of the Holy Spirit, all the elect angels of God, to be with all the redeemed from all the ages, incorruptible, undefiled, that kind of hope that does never fade away. You know, our inheritance, of course, is in heaven, imperishable, enduring forever. It's pure, it's original, and the splendor and the glory and the brightness and the beauty of that hope should drive us more and more and more to be more and more closer to God. That wonderful inheritance, the saints in light. And in the presence of the Almighty God, the One who created all things, that land of endless day, as the song says, the city which lieth four square. All this will be revealed in us when Jesus comes again in the last day. You know, we who have received salvation, I think this is worth hearing. Though through the blood of Christ, we have redemption. And we find great comfort in knowing that the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise up first, and then we who are alive will remain and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus shall we always be with the Lord. That's the culmination of our hope. That's why we're here tonight. That's why we were here this morning. That's why we strive for as most of the perfect faith that we can possibly have. And those words are comfort indeed. I do appreciate so much your being here. Like I said earlier, I thank you. I can't thank you enough. And I know more than anything I might think or imagine is in the way of thanksgiving, it's really important that you know God appreciates your faithfulness. So if anybody has a need this night, you know what that need might be. There's no one here to be baptized, but there might be some troubles that you have and things that you need the prayers of the church. But whatever your need might be tonight, I invite you to come forward now as we stand and as we sing.
I am resolved, O Lord.